fact that they were very large. So pale a grey, they looked silver-white, except for the dark ring at the edge of the iris, and fringed with heavy soot-black lashes of the sort you saw in advertisements for mascara. He looked tired, she thought. Tired and older than the 40-ish he usually appeared. The extreme pallor was normal, vivid against the pure, slicked-back black of his hair, but the worried line between his eyebrows was not. "It's not Sunday night, it's Monday morning," she said. "No worries, Ruthven. Tell me everything. I know you didn't go into lots of details on the phone." "Of course." He offered to take her coat. "I'll make you some coffee." The entryway of the Embankment House was floored in black and white checkered marble, and a large bronze ibis stood on a little side table where the mail and car keys and shopping lists were to be found. The mirror behind this reflected Greta dimly and greenly, like a woman underwater. She peered into it, making a face at herself, and tucked back her hair. It was pale Scandinavian blonde and cut like lists in an off-the-shoulder bob, fine enough to slither free of whatever she used to pull it back. Today, it was in the process of escaping from a thoroughly childish headband. She kept meaning to have it all chopped off and be done with it, but never seemed to find the time. Greta Helsing was 34, unmarried, and had taken over her late father's specialised medical practice after a brief stint as an internist at King's College Hospital. For the past 5 years, she had run a bare-bones clinic out of Wilfert Helsing's old rooms in Harley Street, treating a patient base that to the majority of the population did not, technically, when you got right down to it, exist. It was a family thing. There had never been much doubt which subspeciality of medicine she would pursue once she began her training. Treating the differently alive was not only more interesting than catering to the ordinary human population, it was in many ways a great deal more rewarding. She took a lot of satisfaction in being able to provide help to particularly underserved clients. Greta's patients could largely be classified under the heading of monstrous in its descriptive rather than pejorative sense. Vampires, were-creatures, mummies, banshees, ghouls, bogeymen, the occasional arthritic barrow-wight. She herself was solidly and entirely human, with no noticeable eldritch qualities or powers whatsoever, not even a flicker of metaphysical sensitivity. Some of her patients found it difficult to trust a human physician at first, but Greta had built up an extremely good reputation over the 5 years she had been practicing supernatural medicine, largely by word of mouth. "Go to Helsing. She's reliable." And discreet. That was the first and fundamental tenet, after all. Keeping her patients safe meant keeping them secret, and Greta was good with secrets. She made sure the magical wards around her doorway in Harley Street were kept up properly, protecting anyone who approached from prying eyes. Ruthven appeared in the kitchen doorway, outlined by light spilling warm over the black and white marble. "Greta," he said, and she straightened up, realising she'd been staring into the mirror without really seeing it for several minutes now. It really was late. Fatigue lapped heavily at the pilings of her mind. "Sorry," she said, coming to join him, and a little of that heaviness lifted as they passed through into the familiar warmth and brightness of the kitchen. It was all blue tile and blonde wood, the cheerful rose gold of polished copper pots and pans balancing the sleek chill of stainless steel, and right now it was also full of the scent of really good coffee. Ruthven's espresso machine was a Lachimbali, and it was serious business. He handed her a large pottery mug. She recognised it as one of the set he generally used for blood, and had to smile a little, looking down at the contents, and then abruptly had to clamp down on a wave of thoroughly inconvenient emotion. There was no reason that Ruthven doing goddamn latte art for her at 4:30 in the morning should make her want to cry. He was good at it, too, which was a little infuriating. Then again, she supposed that with as much free time on her hands as he had on his, and as much disposable income, she might find herself learning and polishing new skills simply to stave off the encroaching spectre of boredom. Ruthven didn't go in for your standard variety vampire angst, which was refreshing, but Greta knew very well he had bouts of something not unlike depression.